answer to that question. It was no. I knew it was no, but I tried not to think about it. Sort of like death. You try not to think about dying too often. And I didn't want to think about the end of the world because I knew I wasn't going to live forever. I knew that. And so when I gave my life to Jesus and experienced the peace and the joy of having Jesus in my life, I was so happy about that. And I said to him, I want to be what you want me to be. I want to do what you want me to do. And I want to go where you want me to go. But I really had no clue what that meant. It was a prayer of surrender, and I knew that that's what I needed to do. And when I prayed that prayer, I had peace. For the first time in my life, I had peace. And I still have that peace as I pray that prayer on a daily basis. I want to be what you want me to be. Do what you want me to do. Go where you want me to go. Well, not long after praying that prayer, it became impossible for me to continue in high school. I wasn't strong enough to maintain my faith in public high school. I felt the old things just slowly pulling me back. And so when I had the opportunity to go to a Christian academy, I only went to a Christian school for a year and a half. That was at Milo Academy. And so I went there, and it was a good thing. I was able to get free of those influences in my past. So Jesus said, follow me, which is, you got right here in Luke chapter 5. It says in verse 27, later as Jesus left the town, he saw a tax collector named Levi, this is Matthew, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Levi got up and left everything and followed him. Later, Levi held a banquet in his home, and it says, with Jesus as the guest of honor, many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also ate with him. But the Pharisees and their teachers of religious law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples, why do you eat and drink with such scum? Jesus answered them, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent. Yeah, that was definitely me. So when I finally, after stubbornly fighting the voice of God for so many years, I finally decided to follow Jesus, and I received that peace in my heart, knowing that my sins were forgiven and that I had eternal life. And I began to follow the Lord, and I went to school. And so the first thing that happened was all my normal way of life ceased. My culture I had grown up with, everything changed so fast. My diet, my activities, my friends, everything just changed so fast. But I wasn't sad about it because I was following Jesus. And I was happy to have that peace in my heart and to know that everything was okay. Within a year of graduating from academy, my mother suddenly died at the age of 52 from a heart attack. And that stable, the only real spiritual influence in my life that I'd ever had was suddenly gone. Just completely gone. And it felt like my world was falling apart. Within 7 months, my father married a woman who was the polar opposite of my mother. And it felt like she was intentionally driving a wedge between my father and the rest of the family. And I literally had no contact with him for years because she had a family that she brought in all of his interests, all of his support. Everything about his life was suddenly thrown into her life and those kids that she had. And I was hurt. Yeah, I was hurt. And I was lonely, too. I was at that point, not long after that, fortunately, the Lord brought a good girl into my life. And yeah, I got married kind of young, but it was a good thing. I've always thought about that verse there about how Isaac was comforted after his mother's death when he married Rebecca. And that's what happened when I got married. My godly wife helped to bolster the emptiness that the Lord was taking stuff out of my life. He was taking stuff out of my life. He took all my friends. He took my activities. Those all left. He took my mother, my father, and my brother and my four sisters too. Because now my faith, because I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, all of a sudden they didn't want to have any contact with me. And I was missing my family all that time. I was missing the traditions that we had. I was missing so much of the things that made our family what it was. But the Lord took that out of my life. I don't hesitate to say, you can say it however you want to, but I'm praising God in my heart right now as I talk to you, because the Lord took that stuff out of my life. He knew that I needed to go a completely different direction. And He knew that I needed to sever all the earthly ties. And that's what He did. He just took all that out of my life. And it was hard. It was hard. I won't lie to you about it. I won't say it was, oh, it was so easy. No, it wasn't easy. It was hard. But and it didn't feel like a blessing at the time. But it was a blessing. And I went to college, and I developed new friends, and became a pastor. And it was years and years. Years and years went by. It's still, my father died without too much contact all those years, until the last year or so of his life, when he knew he was going to die. And so then he began to reestablish connection with me. And he had a true conversion. He became a converted Christian man. And a week before he passed away, we were visiting on the phone, and he asked me a lot of Bible questions. And I knew that God was working in his heart, and I knew that he died a converted man. And the same thing sort of happened with my brother. He suddenly got a stroke at 69. And I went to visit with him. He had been, for about 5 or 10 years, he had started really reading the Bible and studying the Bible, and he began to ask questions. And it was amazing to me what he was learning from the Bible and not going to church, but his heart was open and he was trying to know the truth. And he would ask me from time to time, what do you think? Is this right? And he was right on, because he was just accepting what the Bible was saying. And when I went to his bedside and he asked for prayer, and we prayed for him and we anointed him, he couldn't hardly talk because of the stroke and other things that were happening. But one day when I was there, and it was just him and me, he asked me to come closer. I came closer, and he gripped my hand. He only had his left hand. His right hand, because of the stroke, wasn't working. So he gripped with his left hand and held my hand tight. And he said, I need to tell you something. And I said, what? And he said, thank you for saving me. It's funny how things work sometimes. Sometimes you have to go away to come back, you know. Sometimes you have to lose to gain. Sometimes you have to have separation to have connection. And the separation that God brought into my life that was so painful for so many years turned out to be a blessing in so many ways. And so my brother, I believe I'll see him when Jesus comes. It's funny how things like that work. But, you know, when God asks you to do stuff, when he asks you to give up something, when he asks you to go somewhere you don't want to go, when he asks you to do something you don't want to do, when he asks you to be something you don't want to be, he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. And it's so hard sometimes to walk by faith, because you can't see. See, that's faith. Faith is based on what you know is true. But sometimes you feel like you're walking in the dark, because you don't see each step. Like that hymn says, even though the path I may not see, yet still God's hand, he leadeth me. Jesus is always calling us from something to something. Always calling us from something. It never stops. He's always taking us one more step, calling us from something to something. I can absolutely, with my testimony this morning, I can absolutely tell you that when Jesus stops by your place and says, follow me, it will not be free. It will cost you something. But as you follow him, you will always feel like it's worth the cost. Is he calling you to be obedient to him today in some way? Is he calling you to a life of service in some way? Whatever Jesus is saying, when he says, follow me, he's the only voice in this world that you can always trust. He's the only voice that you hear that you can absolutely put your full weight into that voice, into following that voice. Jesus said, follow me. And Matthew left all, it says, and follow him. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who did not cling to heaven and to the throne and to his beautiful garments, but gave them all up to come to this place to be our Savior, so that we might be forgiven and have eternal life. It's not always easy, but it certainly is always best. And that's really what communion is about. Jesus said to the disciples that night, he said, if I do not wash you, you don't have any part in me. And he said, this is my body. This is my blood. Take these symbols because it represents your willingness to be my disciple and follow me. I always look forward to communion. I always need it. I always need to have my feet washed, and I always need to renew my commitment to Jesus. What about you? Many times I've shared with people in the communion service as we wash one another's feet, and several different people, as I was sitting here this morning thinking about communion, different people came to my mind, different experiences I've had with different people. And I can remember one guy, he came up to me one day and he said, Pastor, he said, can I be your partner today? I said, yeah, I need a partner. And he said, I really need to have my feet washed. And he said, I want you to be the one to do it. He said, because you represent the church. And he said, I really feel like in my life, in my past, I have wandered away from God. And I want you to be the one to wash my feet today, because it's very symbolic to me, he said. I said, I'm happy to do it today. I'm happy to do that for you. And he cried. He cried the whole time that I was washing his feet. He just kept saying, I need this so much. I need this so much. He said, my life has been so messed up. He said, I just really need this. We all need Jesus. Matthew needed Jesus. Peter and John needed Jesus. And they heard that voice, and it says they immediately left all and followed him. Sign me up for that. Sign me up for that. I want to follow Jesus. There's so many places you can go, so many voices you can listen to, so many politically correct things to do, and so many financial decisions, and so much to do that you can choose to listen to and follow. But there's really only one voice that I want to hear the most and I want to follow the most, and that's the voice of Jesus. So I want to say again today, Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to go where you want me to go. Let's separate now for the ordinance of humility, is the proper way we say it, but it's the foot washing service. And the couples will meet in the fellowship hall. The gentlemen will go to the junior room, and the ladies who want to share with just other ladies to the kindergarten. Let's stand for prayer. If you are able to, please let us kneel for prayer.
Jesus, we kneel before you with thanksgiving in our heart. The bread, which represents your body, sustains us, supports us, nourishes us. We thank you for these symbols. We thank you for your life, your sacrifice, and your resurrection. We look forward to being with you. Amen.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Thou, the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me, whom have I on earth beside you, whom in heaven but thee? Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.